Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. My name's Thomas, and it is such an honour to be your host. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Of course, most of us are here for the same reason. Because we need, or just like, that bit of extra help to guide us off to sleep. Or to get us back to sleep if we wake up during the night. Or in some cases, there are those of you who use this podcast to sleep during the day after a night shift. Every single one of you are very welcome. And I love hearing your feedback and to know that this podcast has made a really big difference in your lives. For anyone who might be listening for the first time, thanks for being here, and I hope you enjoy tonight's story. If you'd like to hear even more stories and meditations, we've just launched the Get Sleepy Premium channel. It's a podcast feed that gives you access to our entire back catalogue and includes a bonus episode every Thursday. Tomorrow, we'll have a relaxing story read by Nadine, in which we explore an island in Lake Erie and enjoy its rich ecosystem and history. The best part about Get Sleepy Premium is that it's all ad-free. Thank you to everyone who's signed up already. It means so much to have your cherished support. If you'd like to know more and to sign up yourself, you can find a link in the show notes. Now I want to send a big thank you to Blue Blocks for supporting this episode. The damaging effects of blue light can cause digital eye strain. Symptoms often include low energy, headaches, blurred vision, and more. Blue Blocks was created to fix these problems and to block out the damaging effects of blue light. Unlike other types of blue light glasses, Blue Blocks are backed by the latest science and made under Optics Laboratory conditions in Australia. As I've mentioned before, I've been using their sleep lenses, and these are particularly effective of an evening when you're winding down towards bedtime. Nowadays, it's pretty inevitable that we find ourselves looking at screens, be it our phones, tablets, computers, or televisions. So wearing the sleep lenses will really help to block out the blue light that would normally stimulate your brain and make it more difficult to get to sleep at night. So get your energy back, sleep better, and block out the unhealthy effects of blue light with Blue Blocks. Go to blueblocks.com today, get free shipping worldwide, and 15% off with the code SLEEPY. That's blueblocks.com, and use the code SLEEPY for 15% off. I wish you all the best if you give Blue Blocks a try. Now tonight's story is read by Sam. We'll follow Mona, a tiny caterpillar who lives in a peaceful meadow. Little does she know, Mona is about to embark on the journey of a lifetime. Before we start this journey, take a moment to get settled. Find your favourite position in bed and let your head rest down into the pillow and gently close your eyes. Enjoy the weight of the covers on your body. Notice how soft and cozy they are. And how the sensation of being wrapped up like this makes you feel safe and secure. It's like you're wrapped in your own little cocoon. Maybe you can feel the inside of this cocoon beginning to warm. Perhaps as this warmth slowly envelops you, the muscles in your shoulders relax. Then the muscles in your back, your neck, your face, and your jaw. Share a moment of gratitude with your bed, your comforting vessel that will peacefully cradle you to sleep. It's always there to support you and to keep you safe and warm. As you feel yourself drawing deeper within your cozy cocoon, allow your mind to drift to a wide open meadow filled with flowering plants and bustling with life. This is where our story begins.
Mona stretched her legs for the very first time as she crawled along a green milkweed leaf on a warm spring day in Ohio. It was a moment of awe for her, a young caterpillar who had just emerged from her egg here on this very leaf. She'd never seen the sunlight before, or felt her little legs wriggle across the leaves. Tiny, green and translucent, Mona looked at the meadow around her in wonderment. Toward the ground, she could see layers of green, emerald, Kelly and olive. Her eyesight was fuzzy, so she couldn't make out the exact shape, but she was pretty sure they were leaves. Above, Mona saw the endless, pale blue sky. Her eyes registered the rays of light that bounced off her leaf, making it glow. All around, she could hear birds chirping happily and bees buzzing merrily as they pollinated the flowering plants. Mona's stomach began to rumble. Instinctively, she turned to the egg casing that she had just emerged from and started to munch on it. The crunchy yellow shell was filled with nutrients, but it wasn't enough to fill her stomach. As soon as she finished her egg casing, Mona began eating the milkweed plant she was sitting on. The oval leaf was covered in lime green veins. It was thick, and when she bit into it, milky sap began to spill out. The thick, gooey substance dripped down the leaf in beads. Mona ate the leaf while crawling in a circle, careful not to step in the growing pool of sticky sap. The milkweed leaf tasted delicious. She enjoyed how each leaf looked the same, but up close, they were all slightly different. It made for an interesting meal, which was good because Mona was awfully hungry. She consumed leaf after leaf, traveling in a spiral up the milkweed plant and nibbling holes in the leaves as she went. After a few short days had passed, Mona finally began to feel full. She felt herself wanting to slow down and noticed a slight pressure, not in her tummy, but on her skin. It felt similar to when she'd emerged from her egg. Then, a bulge appeared near Mona's head, and her outer skin came loose. She squirmed and wiggled until she climbed out of her old skin. Now, Mona had peach fuzz and tiny tentacles that helped her crawl faster. She was fond of this brand new outfit. No longer see-through and green, Mona now had thin stripes that were white, yellow, and black, running up and down her body. But this outfit came with a new appetite. Mona spent most of the night eating. Once in a while, she rested, settling down onto a leaf and falling asleep with her eyes open. She felt safe and sound on her milkweed plant, where her only concern was filling her tummy. Days passed, and Mona kept growing and nibbling on plants. She shed her skin a few more times, and before long, Mona was finally a fully grown caterpillar. In just a few weeks, she'd become about 2.5 centimeters long. The days were growing longer as spring turned into summer. The meadow was in full bloom. Mona kept on eating, now preparing for her metamorphosis into a butterfly. Different types of milkweed grew in this blossoming field, and Mona sampled them all. There was yellow poke milkweed, purple milkweed, bright orange butterfly milkweed, and more. They each produced tiny buds that looked like berries until they blossomed, revealing clusters of colourful petals. One quiet morning, Mona sat on top of the purple milkweed plant she called home. The leaves rustled occasionally in the wind, but Mona herself was too light to rattle them. She marveled at the obscure rainbow of plants that grew all around. She'd been enjoying herself, lazily exploring the different flora, eating tasty leaves from each of them. But now, she needed to find a safe place where she could enter her chrysalis phase. She wriggled from plant to plant and spent nearly an entire day searching for the perfect location. Until now, most of her life was spent on milkweed plants, but she wanted something new. She spotted a pretty lavender plant and some tall yellow flowers, but neither was satisfactory. She saw cornflowers and hibiscus, but wasn't impressed with them either. Finally, Mona spotted a plant that had bright red splotches on it. It was strong, healthy, and sat in a nice shady spot out of the sun. It grew so tall that it bent over and formed an arch. This was the plant she'd been searching for. It was perfect. Mona crawled through the arch and felt like she'd entered a different place. Up close, she could see that the red splotches on the plant were actually ripe tomatoes. She climbed up the winding branches and vines, pointing in every direction, until she found one that grew horizontally, parallel to the ground. It was sturdy and thick. A gentle gust of wind rustled the tomato leaves. Mona looked to the sun and saw that it was nearly midday, as good a time as any to begin her metamorphosis. She crawled to the underside of the branch and began to carefully spin a silk pad. It was small and round, like a white button. Mona attached the end of her body to the silk pad. For a while, she hung there, suspended from the branch, curved into a fuzzy hook. After a few hours passed, Mona straightened out her body and began to shed her skin once again. But this time, something different happened. Her skin peeled away to reveal an opaque chrysalis. The soft, acorn-shaped sac would be Mona's home for the next few weeks. The inside was snug and cozy. Mona adjusted herself until she found the perfect position to sleep. Around her, the chrysalis began to harden, serving as a protective barrier from pesky predators. Mona was tired, exhausted from eating, growing, and crawling. She sighed through her spiracles, the small breathing tubes that led from the chrysalis to the outside. She wondered what she looked like from far away. Other creatures probably thought she was simply resting. They didn't know that inside her chrysalis, she was undergoing the transformation of a lifetime. Mona yawned. She heard crickets commence their evening chorus as the sun went down. No more light reached her eyes. That night, she fell into a deep sleep and dreamt of the butterfly she would soon become. Days went by with bees buzzing about. Calm nights passed as water rippled down the stream nearby, except for a deer munching on the ripe tomatoes. Nobody bothered Mona. It was the best sleep of her life, until 10 days later, when she started to stir. Mona awoke feeling slightly groggy from her long slumber, but it quickly passed. She squirmed in her chrysalis, surprised at how much she still felt like a caterpillar. With much determination, she managed to split open the chrysalis shell and climbed right out. She held on to the underside of the branch with her legs. Mona hung upside down for several hours. It took her a little while to get used to her new body. It wasn't like the one she was used to. She looked out at the meadow and realized that she could see more clearly than ever before. The leaves on the tomato plant were no longer blurred together. The flowers that surrounded her used to seem flat, but now they were three-dimensional. A few plants away, Mona saw another butterfly leaving its chrysalis. Its bright orange wings were lined with black veins. Its body had 2 antennae and a long tube-like mouth. Mona felt a strange familiarity with this butterfly and wondered if she looked the same. While she hung, Mona could feel fluid flowing through her wings. Slowly, it stiffened them like starch. Eventually, her wings were completely dry, aided by the cool morning breeze. She flapped them tentatively, unsure if flying would come naturally to her. She had no choice but to make a leap of faith. Autumn was fast approaching, when she would have to fly 3,000 miles in just a few months. Mona took a deep breath and let go of the tomato branch. Her wings waved in the wind automatically, fluttering gently and keeping her suspended in the air. She was elated at the lightness of her body, how easily she moved through the air. For a little being who spent her life climbing milkweed plants, flying was a true wonder. She began to fly up and over the meadow. It seemed like a dream to see her familiar home from this view. Below her, the cornflowers, lilac and hemp flourished. The beautiful colours called to her. Mona landed on a soft pink zinnia flower. She unfurled her long tongue and reached into the plant to taste its nectar. It was sweet and syrupy, much different than the milkweed leaves she used to eat. She had never tasted anything so delicious. Mona spent the next few weeks feasting on her newfound favourite food. She didn't venture out of the meadow because she didn't need to. There were hundreds of different plants for her to eat here, and plenty of other butterflies just like her to dance with in the wind. Apart from eating and pollinating plants, Mona also enjoyed mud puddling. She found a small puddle towards the centre of the meadow. It was murky and shallow, but it was filled with precious nutrients. Mona stood at its edge, her wings splayed outwards, slurping up the water. She whiled away the rest of the summer in this lovely meadow. With all the food available, Mona stored up plenty of energy reserves for her upcoming journey. All of the other butterflies were talking about it. Nobody could wait for this adventure of a lifetime. One day, towards the end of fall, when the days were becoming shorter and temperatures cooled, Mona felt that it was time to move. She and the other monarchs who lived in the meadow didn't need to communicate this to each other. Mona was going to miss her meadow, but she was also eager to see more of the world. After one last sip of nectar, she fluttered up into the air. Her wings were luminous in the sunlight. They made a gentle beating sound as they flapped. Mona looked down at her meadow for one last time. The tall grasses, the apple trees, the milkweed plant where she was born. She would never forget them, but she longed to see what lay beyond this quaint little world. As she rose higher, the meadow got smaller and smaller, until it looked like it did when she was still a caterpillar. A blur of colours, bright and rich. Mona was surprised at how effortless the first leg of the journey was. On her way from Ohio to Kentucky, she rode a current of air. It both pushed her forward and held her aloft. While she flew, Mona witnessed many new things. She saw a bird that had cyan blue feathers, mountains in the distance, and long rivers down below. She saw shiny boxes with creatures inside moving down grey paths, and meadows that were 10 times bigger than the one where she grew up. Mona also met other monarch butterflies. They didn't fly together during the day, but they roosted together at night in bushes and branches along the route. After a few days of travelling, Mona reached Kentucky. She landed in a small pasture of milkweed that grew next to a river. It was nearly nightfall. Mona heard the river flowing gently over rocks and branches. As Mona expected, other monarchs began to land nearby. She drank some nectar to quench her thirst before joining the others on a tree. They roosted together in clusters that looked like orange autumn leaves. There were hundreds of them, all of them the same but different. They all had bright orange wings with black veins and white spots, but the vein patterns varied from one to another. Mona had a few more spots than others. Every night, Mona made new friends. She learned about the different places where each of her companions grew up. Some along rivers, others on the side of rolling pastures. Mona loved to talk about her home in the meadow. The monarch settled into a roost as the sun disappeared and darkness descended upon the pasture. Mona felt a small tickle as another monarch's wings brushed against hers. It was nice to be a part of something bigger. She was still thinking about her new friends when she drifted off into a long and peaceful sleep. The next few mornings, Mona rose early to get a head start on her journey. In less than a week, she had reached Arkansas. She traveled over rivers and in between the peaks of mountains. She had become quite skilled at riding the air currents like a surfer rides a wave. She roosted at a state park in Arkansas. The mass of butterflies camping for the night had steadily grown bigger. She now had thousands of companions. The only sound they could hear was the song of cicadas. The park was dark, save the occasional firefly, which looked like a slowly flickering speck of light. Each day on her journey, Mona saw a brand new world. In the morning, Mona awoke to crisp sunlight. The state park was abuzz with activity. Hooded warblers, cuckoos, and oven birds whistled, creating a chorus of birdsong. Mona listened to their melody while she refueled at some wildflowers. Thanks to her nutrient reserves from home, she still felt energetic and ready to take on the remainder of her trip. She flew to Texas, where summer was still going strong. There were other butterflies in Texas, kinds that looked different from her. One of them had blue and purple wings that gave off an ethereal quality. Another had pastel yellow wings that flared out. Mona observed them while sipping some nectar. As she carried on from the United States into Mexico, a sleepy feeling started to set in. She needed to hibernate soon. Now, confident in her abilities, Mona swooped over the red, dusty deserts of Mexico. Tall saguaro cacti dotted the deserts. At night, Mona drank the nectar from their white flowers. Sometimes the wind would blow up a swirl of desert dust, and Mona could briefly see the air currents that she rode. She rode the current higher and higher into the sky, all the way up to a mountain top. As she crossed its peak, she saw millions of orange and black wings down below. They were monarchs, clustered into oyamel fir trees, hibernating. The cone-shaped fir trees had needles instead of leaves and grew in tall clusters. The majority of the monarchs sat perfectly still, clinging to the trees as if frozen in time. The trees blocked the wind so that not even a small breeze bothered them. Her timing was perfect. As she drifted down to the furs, Mona felt a sleepiness come over her. The kind felt at the end of a wonderful but long journey. She fluttered her wings as she landed next to another butterfly. Mona wondered how they all knew to flock here, even though they had never been before. They roosted on the same trees, generation after generation, inheriting them from the monarchs that came before. Perhaps the trees were marked with the butterfly scent, or perhaps the memory of the mountains and fir trees was imprinted into their genes. She liked to think that they just followed the prettiest path all the way here. Mona had surely enjoyed the views along the way. At long last, Mona was able to let her exhaustion win. She'd sleep here until the end of winter. Then, she'd wake up and lay eggs of her own. Those eggs would hatch into larvae, and those larvae would turn into caterpillars as the cycle of life renewed. Though these evergreen fir trees were unchanging, Mona knew that back home the apple trees were losing their leaves and her milkweed was freezing over. She still missed her old home, but she was grateful to have found a new one. Mona sank deep into hibernation. Those memories from the warm meadow where she grew up fluttered through her mind.